You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Pro Bowl vote is here. An awesome Pro Bowl starts with awesome players, and your vote helps decide who gets a spot on the AFC and NFC roster. Show your love, cast your vote, and make sure your favorite players make it to the 2020 Pro Bowl. Vote today and be entered to win exclusive prizes at NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote. What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, and the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield. And because we live in Los Angeles, and this doesn't happen very often, I feel the need to point out, it rained. It rained a little bit last night.
And lightning.
It rained last morning. Also.
It did. It rained on me as I was walking home last night. It was like 5:30, 6 o'clock when I got to my building, and I got to like two blocks away, and it started dumping.
You probably had no idea what to do.
It was like, yeah, I was like, what is this?
An umbrella? What's that?
What is this weird wet substance falling from the sky?
Moisture from the sky.
I don't remember what this was.
So, yeah, just in time for the end of fire season, we get rain season, which means we'll get mudslides. I know that a lot of you out there probably roll your eyes, but this is our life here in California. Got plenty to talk about today. The trade deadline in most leagues is coming this week. In fact, in standard NFL.com leagues, it comes on Friday. So we'll talk about some maybe guys that you might want to trade for, might want to trade away, and maybe just some strategies. Because we get a lot of texts, tweets, whatever, DMs asking about certain trades. And so just if you are trying to make those last-minute deals, maybe some ideas, some strategies, things you want to try if you're going to figure this out. Also, with the regular season, fantasy regular season coming to a close, if you had to pick a handful of guys that you were going to ride with the rest of the season, maybe not top-level guys, but guys that are sort of mid-level that you think could possibly get you to the playoffs, maybe win you a championship, who would you roll with? So we'll kind of take a pick at some of those guys as well. Plus, with it being Wednesday and waivers having run, if you're looking to make room on your roster, maybe just grab somebody off the waiver wire, who should you move off your roster to try to make some of that room? We'll go through some drop or not guys as well. But before we do all of that, go behind the glass, talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
I want to keep the conversation very LA-based, so it's funny, we talked about the rain. Fabs before was complaining about traffic, and then the Lakers game last night, Rob Gronkowski at halftime.
Yes.
If I had to pick a player that was on the team I hate the most but love the player, he is my pick for the NFL, Rob Gronkowski.
It's hard to not like Gronk.
He's the most likable guy. He's hilarious.
I did think it was funny, last week or earlier this week when he said he was going to make a big announcement on Tuesday. Yeah. And I think fantasy Twitter sort of got antsy. I know the people that were had their itchy waiver wire trigger finger over his name.
He was one of the most added tight ends.
Right. And I'm like, there's no way.
I was going to say, we moved upstairs in the building here, and we sit next close to the product guys, and they were all saying, oh my God, Rob Gronkowski's gone from 0.1 ownership to 2%. People were anticipating him coming back.
There's no way he's announcing that he's coming back to play. Like, that's not happening. And so I know a lot of people were, trying to be quick on the trigger, and that didn't quite work out. But him dancing with the Lakers.
Gronk's lost 30 pounds.
Yeah.
That kind of move is like a haha, look how smart I am move. And there was a very low percentage of a chance that you were going to look smart.
Right.
Because he was not coming back.
He was not coming back. No. But I did think it was funny, all the people who made a move for him. But him dancing with the Laker girls last night, if you haven't seen that, I'm sure it's all over Twitter. Yeah, go find it. It was very, very funny.
Speaking of the Lakers, did you see, I think it was last week, our very own Akbar Bajabiamila was courtside.
Howling it up with LeBron.
Game, and LeBron came off the floor, going back to the locker room. High five to Akbar. I mean, he is a superstar. I mean,
yeah.
Akbar is just all over the place. I couldn't be more proud of him, but it's like he was trying to be cool about it. Oh, yeah, me and LeBron.
Yeah. Well, that's Akbar.
Let me tell you, Akbar. Love it.
All right. With all that out of the way, let's do some news.
Let's What's through the news?
We will start, and this doesn't really require a whole lot of conversation. The Miami Dolphins have cut Mark Walton after reports surfaced that he's being accused of hitting his pregnant girlfriend several times in the face and the head. This is just one of many run-ins that Walton has had with the law, a number of them coming previously when he played with the Cincinnati Bengals and eventually was let go there. Now his time with the Dolphins is over, and you kind of believe that his time in the NFL is probably over as well, because he is not good enough at professional football for somebody to consider giving him any more chances about that.
Even if he was, he's a scumbag.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily preclude guys from being on NFL roster.
Yeah,
Mark Walton's just not good enough at football.
I know, that kind of stuff drives me crazy.
Yeah. So, he's not with the Dolphins. He doesn't need to be on your fantasy team. I feel like that's all that we need to talk about with Mark Walton. Other news, and this just hit Twitter just as we were getting ready to start. Evan Engram, Rhett Ellison not participating at Giants practice. Both of them are with the training staff. Evan's missed a couple of games as he's been dealing with some injuries there. Rhett Ellison is sort of a new thing popping up here. Scott Simonson and Caden Smith are the healthy tight ends right now. I mean, Fabs, we were kind of waiting for Evan Engram. We were hoping that this was the week he was back, and now, I don't know, we're sort of left in the lurch for tight ends again.
So the last time I talked to my contact, who's got some inside info on Evan, I was told he's playing this week. I will reach out to that contact again and find out whether or not that is still the case. But the last I heard, Evan's going to be back. So we'll see. And I could go and look at his fantasy league right now in my celebrity league, and I'm not sure whether or not he has changed his lineup around. So that could be a reason why or why not that he is not in the lineup or in the lineup. But right now he is not in the lineup.
If he misses, like,
he's got
Sterling Shepard's still in concussion protocol. Well, he might get back, but Golden Tate's going to see all the targets once again.
Pretty much.
Yep.
See here.
And look, if he's not there,
is
Darius Slayton the thing again?
Yeah.
My mistake. Evan is, he has put himself back in his lineup.
Okay.
So, and he had Gerald Everett active last week. So Evan has put himself back in his lineup. I'm assuming that's probably a good sign.
All right. It just kind of caught me off guard. Like, we were literally sitting here about ready to record, and I saw this come across from Art Stapleton, who covers the Giants.
Something to certainly keep tabs on. But right now, he is active on his own fantasy.
It is only Wednesday too, so there's still a chance that he can get back on the field. So keep tabs on that one. Other things to keep tabs on: James Conner. Still dealing with a shoulder injury. He came back last week in the game against the Browns. Didn't last all that long before having to leave as he re-aggravated that shoulder injury. Now, Mike Tomlin is saying Connor's availability is unclear for this week. So, obviously, that means Jalen Samuels back up again. Benny Snell is also starting to work out. I mean, this feels like sort of a worst-case scenario, though, Graham. If Benny Snell gets back in here, this thing becomes a mess again.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Jalen Samuels was already losing snaps when James Conner missed the last game. He's already losing snaps to Terrell Edmonds, and they were kind of, you know, I don't know. They'll probably run some sort of committee with Samuels, probably being some sort of the lead. I don't know, man.
The good thing about Jalen is that he is such a great pass catcher, and they have nothing this week. Juju's
exactly,
hurt.
Man.
Deontay's hurt. They got James Washington, Vance McDonald, and Jalen's going to get a lot of targets this week, and it's the Bengals.
That's the saving grace this week. Is if Samuels gets like 8 to 10 carries, we should still expect like maybe 8 to 10 targets.
That's probably what he'll get is maybe 8 to 10 carries.
Yeah, that's
but the targets will exceed that.
That's probably enough to get some juice in some PPR leagues, but I don't know, man. The Steelers stink.
It's all falling apart, man.
I know it's a good matchup, but this offense is just, it's not one we want to invest in much.
I just like Jalen just because of you're looking at a guy who can catch 6 to 8 passes. I mean, right there.
It's the target volume there.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, Juju Smith-Schuster now in concussion protocol.
Also dealing with a knee injury.
Dealing with a knee injury as well, which you hate to see guys injured. You definitely do. I think for a lot of people, though, myself included, when you've kind of had that wrestling match every week of, do I put Juju in? Do I start him over? Like, knowing that he may sit down and get some rest, I think at least kind of takes that worry off your plate for the week, potentially. But as you mentioned, Fabs, Juju's is hurt. Deontay Johnson is hurt. James Washington is there. There's just nobody.
Yeah, they're gonna be rolling out James Washington and Johnny Holton as their top two receivers this weekend if Juju and Deontay Johnson can't get healthy for the game.
Yeah, and they're playing the
the Bengals this week, man. Like, the matchup is so good on paper. And there's just
put Kirkpatrick on IR. Yeah. I mean, their defense is
If Juju were healthy, like,
would you play him?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would.
I would, but it's probably going to save ourselves from the inevitable like 3-catch-for-28-yard
right.
games.
That's kind of what I'm looking at. I'm like, you know, look, I love Juju. I love him as a player. I love him as a person. Seems like a really fun guy.
We just need Big Ben back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
And it's just
2020.
Every week that headache of, do I start him? Do I flex him? What do I do?
Like, let me ask you guys a question. Okay, because a lot of people out there are probably looking to do this. Now, James Conner was and is probably a lot of people's RB1, RB2, right? And say you weren't sort of quick enough at the trigger to get Jalen Samuels off the wire. Another team has him. What would you be willing to trade to get Jalen on your roster if you have James Conner? I'll throw a few names out there because this is what a lot of people have to deal with right now.
Yeah. Right.
Like, would you trade Emmanuel Sanders for him?
I would trade somebody like Marvin Jones. So
Emmanuel Sanders probably fits. Yeah, he falls in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, rest of the season. If you picked up Darius Geis, say, and you have Conner, and Geis is going to be your replacement, would you play Geis or still try to trade for Jalen Samuels?
I'd just play Geis.
I'd rather play Geis at this point.
I mean, if you're trying to give up something significant, which, I mean, let's stick with Manny Sanders, that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
For Samuels.
Yep.
Especially if Terrell Edmonds and all these other guys are going to mix in.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if you've got Geis on the roster, I don't know that I would give up something to try and get another guy.
Yeah. So. I'll tell you this. I was texting with Darius yesterday. You guys can name drop, make fun of me, whatever. But, like, I have him in my stardoms this week. On NFL Fantasy Live TV today, I'm going to be talking about how much I like him this week. So he is well aware that fantasy owners will be counting on him.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
He was watching the show yesterday when Akbar and I were talking about the backfield report and the Redskins situation. So Darius is well. A lot of players it may not be, but Darius is well aware that fantasy owners are really leaning on him this week.
Do you think he's stashed himself in his own fantasy league? He's just like, I'm waiting for myself to come back. Here we go.
He doesn't play fantasy football. No. Wouldn't it be great, though, if like a large percentage of players played fantasy football and we had access to the rosters like Evan Engram? Like, I can go in and be like, yeah, Evan's playing himself, so I'm sure he's going to start.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make our lives easier? How about if, like, David Johnson was benching himself also, the last couple
right,
of weeks?
These dudes owe us nothing.
They owe us nothing. But I also feel like if that were the case, then they would treat it the same way the coaches treat injury reports, like, a guy would have himself in his lineup right up until about an hour before kickoff, and you would never know the difference.
I'm just having fun with it. I mean, imagine that, though. That would be a fantasy world.
Yeah, so
that'd be great.
Down in Dallas, Jerry Jones expects Amari Cooper to play in Week 12. He did play last week against the Lions, but reports are he wasn't completely healthy. He was dealing with a little bit of a knee injury there. I mean, it's one of those things, Fabs, where if he's on the field, you are going to start him. I know the matchup isn't great on paper
really
against
bad.
The Patriots, but now if he's also less than 100%, that's reason to be worried right now.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know that I could personally do this because I'm a Cowboys fan and he's been so good. But if you have depth at wide receiver, say Calvin Ridley's on your roster, mm-hmm. and you can pick between Ridley and Cooper, you guys would go Ridley, right? This week? No?
Yeah, probably would.
Right?
I'll say one additional thing here. Like, Darius Slay is playing out of his mind right now. Mm-hmm. He has been white hot, and he shut down Cooper at significantly less than 100% this past week. But Cooper is just – he's so damn good. Like,
I know he is, yeah.
He has been – it took, you know, back in Week 9 against the Giants, Cooper was really banged up, and it just took one play for him to, you know, go off and have a great game for 480 and one. I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, it's just basically like a talent versus matchup type of
right.
thing. And Cooper just needs one big play to get right. I do think, obviously, the Patriots are going to do, and Bill Belichick will do everything within their power to slow him down. But
what one player will Belichick look to stop?
I think it's Cooper
or is it Zeke?
Bill Belichick is way smarter than I think most people, and I think he knows that you slow down this Dallas offense by slowing down this pass offense right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Bill Belichick would be very happy if Zeke had like 25 carries for 95 yards.
And this will be something that you and I talk about on Friday, right? But I mean, Dak Prescott, I mean, he's had two bad games all year long. He's been phenomenal, but he has had a couple of bad games when the matchups have been tough. I remember that Saints game where he just wasn't any good. I mean, is he a fade this week? Like, say you have Baker Mayfield, right? Playing the Dolphins, or I think Matt Ryan. That's an obvious one. Like he's Jameis Winston, right? Who I don't even know if that's a good matchup anymore.
I don't think Dak.
But I mean, like, is Dak still a must start this week?
Dak's
or
never
you fade him.
Dak's never a fade. But I mean, if you feel really good about Baker or Matt Ryan or something like that, then sure, roll
him. Start him, right? Yeah.
But Dak he's the guy that's making this engine go here in Dallas.
I mean, I just feel like his ceiling right now is higher than a lot of those other guys, and I think that is the argument.
Yeah, because Dak can have a bad day passing and still scramble in the red zone and have a rushing score.
That's like, right. I mean, that could be a saving grace. That's sort of what I'm telling people about Josh Allen. His schedule the rest of the year is brutally bad.
Is rough.
Brutally bad. But because he can run with the football, he's had, 12 rushing touchdowns since week 12 of last season, which leads all quarterbacks. I mean, that's pretty good. Looking back at our data here, this is where quarterbacks have finished against the Patriots this year, okay? 27th, 34th, 33rd, 23rd, 28th, 24th, 34th, 23rd, 3rd, Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson. I'm like, I was waiting for the Lamar Jackson game.
And 20th, which was Carson Wentz last week. So,
Dak,
they have allowed one quarterback to finish better than 20th.
Dak is one step below Lamar, but they basically, the rest of those quarterbacks, especially the first six ones, they
right.
Guys
I mean,
were
like,
just,
yeah,
they Sam Darnold right, twice,
probably
the backup guys.
Attached the names to those quarterbacks, right. Too.
Yep. I mean, Wentz is a name, but he also was without his number one wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think Dak will be like the top three quarterback this week, but I could see him being top eight pretty easily.
Yep. Yeah. So, some good news for the Rams. Sean McVay is expecting Brandon Cooks to return for week 12. He's missed the last couple of games as he has dealt with concussion symptoms. Graham, this is obviously good news for Cooks. It's good news for Jared Goff. And I think, as Adam Rank's been pointing out, it's good news for Cooper Kupp, too, because now there's that guy who takes the top off the defense. And now that defenses can't necessarily focus in on trying to slow down Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, they desperately needed him, especially this week against this Ravens secondary that we all know is just so much better now. I will say Cooks this year has not been the same guy when he has been healthy. He's basically just had the two big games, and they really weren't even, fantastic games for Brandon Cooks levels. But you mentioned it, this Rams offense just desperately needs someone else to kind of take some pressure off of Goff, because last week we saw it. I mean, no Robert Woods, who I'm assuming he's going to come back this week. We really don't know. He was held out because of a personal issue this past week. But, getting all three of these guys back and being able to layer the offense in the way that Sean McVay wants to do and, stretch the field both vertically and horizontally with these guys through motion and jet sweeps and all that stuff. It'll be good to get them all back, because they desperately needed them this week in this match.
But let's just hope they don't alter things, because the way that they're going to win, and
they will.
About this, I know that's what I'm worried about. But, like, when they ran the football successfully, even with some backup offensive linemen against the Bears, and I know the Bears don't have a good run defense, but I mean, I feel like that's the way the Rams are going to win games. I mean, even though Goff was a lesser part of the offense, it was Gurley who basically was the centerpiece. He still had three picks. He's just not good right now. So I really do hope that obviously they're going to want to throw the ball a little bit more when they have all three of their big wideouts back, but I just really hope that Gurley continues touches.
This might not even be a want-to thing. This might be a have-to thing, because the way the Ravens are scoring points right now.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, if Lamar Jackson and the Ravens keep rolling up points the way they have, you can't sit back and give Gurley 25 touches. You just can't.
That was totally game plan specific, because they didn't have Woods, they didn't have Cooks.
And you knew Trubisky wasn't going to do
it. Exactly. You can beat Trubisky by throwing the ball five times and still win right now at this point.
So, yeah. But anyway, Brandon Cooks is back. So if you've been kind of hanging on to him, at least there's potentially some relief, although it's not a great
He was out there in kind of a few waiver wires this week. I was pretty surprised.
Is that right?
I saw him dropped in a few leagues, yeah.
Yeah, I think the long wait and people just needing to kind of fill spots in their roster kind of precipitated that. But, hey, so if he's out there, go check. Maybe in some weird coincidence he's out there, so check and see if you can pick him up. There you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right. As I mentioned at the start of the show, the trade deadline in most leagues is coming up this week. So if you are looking to make some deals, this is your last chance to do it. Get those offers in. And so I went and I picked some running backs and wide receivers with good schedules, bad schedules the rest of the way. And we can decide whether or not you want to trade for these guys, whether you want to trade away some of these guys, maybe if you want to just hang on to them too. So starting at running back, right? David Montgomery, who has a a really favorable schedule. We talked about his quarterback. Everybody knows the situation there. The problem is the usage is sort of inconsistent. But just based on opportunity potential alone, either you guys interested in maybe trading for David Montgomery right now?
Next three matchups are good, like you mentioned. I mean, Giants, Lions, and Cowboys.
But the Giants actually, the Giants actually aren't. I mean, they held Zeke to I think he was the RB23. Like lately, and that's something that we could talk about too. Lately, the Giants' defense has not been that bad against running backs, and just like Atlanta's defense, right? So like everyone out there has Jameis Winston in their top 10. Is he? Is it a good matchup? I'm not sure. When do we start looking at what teams are doing now as opposed to what they've done? And so, you know, look at numbers, because I have David Montgomery as my sit of the week against the Giants. I mean, number one, I'm not sure that he's 100%. Remember, he gave away some touches last week. Tariq Cohen was the better of the two from a fantasy perspective. And looking at this Giants defense, and as a Cowboys fan, I just remember that, you know, Zeke was not good in that game. They've given up the fifth fewest fantasy points to running back since week eight. So it hasn't been like they've been awful. They've been getting gashed through the air. But I mean, your defense can't be that bad when Ezekiel Elliott can't finish in that top 20 against you.
I'm just laughing because the Giants obviously are very beatable through the air, but there's no way Mitchell Trubisky and Chase Daniel are going to like rip these guys.
No,
if Chase Daniel starts,
I get
actually,
it. I'm thinking this is going to be a very low scoring game, kind of similar to what the Rams game was. You know, it's going to be a, you know, 17-14, 14-10 kind of game. And I think Montgomery needs to get into the end zone in order to actually put up a good stat line this week.
Yeah, Leonard Williams has been big for them the last couple of weeks. He was a good run stuffer.
Right.
Obviously has not been very good in pass rush in his career so far, but he's always been pretty good in the run game. I think that's been a big help for them.
Yeah.
Next up, Philip Lindsay, who's a guy I've been advocating that you trade for.
I love this.
I mean,
love it.
The Broncos schedule is very favorable down the stretch. Brandon Allen is middling at best. They have kind of been leaning on Philip Lindsay. And I would even throw Royce Freeman in there in a lesser extent, because he's still getting a decent number of touches. But I feel like Philip Lindsay is a solid trade for Canada.
So
love him.
Tom Pelissero, before the last game in Minnesota, he came out and said that the Broncos were kind of having this changing of the guard, right? They're going to kind of use Philip Lindsay in more of a number one type role. And they did this past week. They used him on 64% of their snaps. That was a season high for Lindsay. And I kind of think that's the smart move down the stretch. I mean, Lindsay just offers so much more explosiveness, both as a rusher and receiver in this offense, and the schedule is just so nice. The Bills' run defense, I know you're on this week, the Bills' run defense is really, really bad.
They have given up at least a top 21 running back in every single game. At least a top 21. So if you're in a 10-team league, they have given up a high flex every single week. And Marcus is right. Lindsay's a great play this week. He is a great guy to go out there and grab now. He hasn't had like a huge workload because they've been using Royce Freeman. Freeman was until recently out snapping him for the season. And now I think he's ready to roll.
This is a sort of a big ticket item here, but Dalvin Cook, obviously to get a Dalvin Cook, you're going to have to give up something significant.
Firstborn child?
I mean, my thought is if there's somebody in your league who has Dalvin Cook and really nothing else and is just not really relevant, maybe they're willing to make a deal for something. I don't know, but yeah, it would take a lot. I mean, you're giving up probably a wide receiver one, you know, in some leagues, you could probably give up a quarterback.
Yeah, honestly, it'd probably have to be somebody like a wide receiver one plus Phil Lindsay.
Right.
Would you give up Dalvin Cook to get Lamar Jackson?
No.
No, nobody's going to do it. It's got to be a two for
one. See, that's the thing. But I mean, nobody in leagues that we play in will, right? But there's a lot of leagues out there where they will make that move. Yeah. Somebody will make that move.
Okay. I think, like, is that the only guy? Like, if you're looking at a quarterback for running back, is that the, like, even Mahomes?
Yeah, it'd be hard for Mahomes. I mean, you'd have to sell them on the name brand a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, and look, I don't want to suggest that Patrick Mahomes has been bad, but he's not putting up the video game numbers he did last year,
we all kind of knew that. Yeah.
You sort of have to sell somebody on the name value of Patrick Mahomes there. Like I said, Dalvin Cook I know it's a tough ask, but the schedule's great. Not that it's mattered for Dalvin this year, but the schedule's really great for him the rest of the way.
Yeah.
One name we've mentioned a couple times. We mentioned it a little bit this morning. Darius Geis, who, again, nice schedule. My only concern is, will he start to get more touches, or will they leave this at more of a 50-50 split between he and Adrian Peterson? Because the opportunity is there. And I think you mentioned this on Monday, Fabs, that with that team really going nowhere, you wonder whether or not they're going to turn to the young guys. They've already handed the ball over to Dwayne Haskins to let him be the quarterback. Now you got to wonder, what do your does your essentially, Darius is a rookie, right? Because he missed all of last season. He played one or what, two games now this year. He's essentially a rookie. You want to see what he has if you're going to build this team for the future. Yeah. So I would think that, you know, that means opportunity is there. He seems like a really solid trade for candidate. And again, not like, you know, Cook or Lindsey or even David Montgomery.
Right.
The asking price is a lot lower for Darius guys.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt about it. And again, like this guy has got something to prove. You know, when he's played, he's looked good, right? I mean, he's looked very good. It's just been, you know, unfortunate with the injuries. But why, if you're the Redskins and you're going nowhere, would you play Adrian Peterson in a featured role when you have a young, up-and-coming running back in Darius Geis that you need to see what you have in him, right? I mean, do the Redskins go out and give him 25 touches a game? No. But, I mean, if he can get you 15, 18 touches a game for the rest of the season based on the matchup, I would think the Redskins would also want to do that because they want to see what they have because they have to build, right, for the future. Mm-hmm. So if they use Darius and spell him with Adrian Peterson a little bit, see what they got. If he plays well, they know they don't really have to look at the running back position outside of maybe a backup for 2020 in the future.
So, all right, so let's move on to the wide receivers then, and let's just stay in Washington here because Terry McLaurin is on the list. Again, the schedule is really great. The opportunity we know is going to be there, but Graham, how much do we trust Dwayne Haskins if we want to make a trade for him?
Not at all. Not at all. Look, I don't want to be out on Dwayne Haskins because he's obviously a young player in a very, very poor situation. They really don't have a good offensive mind there at this point, and we all know the offensive line problem, so I don't want to just poop all over Dwayne Haskins and say he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback at some point because that can happen, but based on what we've seen this year, It has been brutal to watch.
Yeah.
I watched a good bit of that Jets game. I thought that was actually Haskins' best game I've seen from him. The matchup was obviously pretty easy, but he still took a bunch of sacks and is holding onto the ball just way too long. Doesn't seem to fully trust it yet. McLaurin and Haskins had obviously a long play called back that
right.
was gorgeous,
yep.
where Haskins extended the play. Maybe that shows a little bit of signs of life, but this year, I mean, McLaurin has been a wide receiver one with Case Keenum, and he's been completely unusable when Case Keenum's not back.
The points difference is ridiculous. 8.6 points per game when Haskins is the quarterback, nearly 16 when Keenum is the quarterback, and he's facing a guy in Darius Slay who just shut down Amari Cooper. So unfortunately, Terry McLaurin is not someone you want to play. I have more faith in the Lions' defense this week against Dwayne Haskins than I do in McLaurin against Darius Slay and that Lions' defense. So.
Yeah. T.Y. Hilton, it's kind of an interesting. I actually made a trade for T.Y. Hilton a few weeks ago, and then he immediately got hurt, and so I actually haven't had a chance to put him in my lineup since I made that deal.
That was Fantasy League One, right?
It was Fantasy League One, and I traded away Marlon Mack.
So it's
ends
a wash.
It kind of ends up being a wash there. I mean, look, Hilton may get on the field this week potentially, but I would think that there's got to be somebody in your league who maybe has him, is maybe a little bit frustrated, and might be willing to part with T.Y. Hilton for less than market value at this point. I mean, because when he's there, the schedule's good. He's got a decent quarterback in Jacoby Brissett. I mean, I feel like he's a nice piece. If you are on the edge of a playoff run and looking to get over the hump, T.Y. Hilton could help get you there, I would think.
I did not realize how great the schedule is. My goodness.
Yeah.
They got Texans, Titans, and then Bucks over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Ooh.
T.Y.'s right, man. T.Y.'s right. He's going to lose his mind this next couple weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. Got to get him call. Back on the field, but it is a good call. Yep.
Anybody in on Devontae Parker? I know I've been sort of trumpeting this
dude,
breakout
why?
Season.
Yeah. He's been good.
Yeah, he's been a weekly flex starter in 12-team leagues.
And, you know, I mean, especially once Preston Williams got hurt.
All the volume.
Things opened up for him quite a bit.
Dolphins do not have – they've basically just been running out, like, Allen Hurns and Albert Wilson is, like, their number two, number three rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of like Hurns this week, randomly.
I do like Hurns this week, too,
hey, nice.
Actually.
Yeah. But, yeah, this is – it's been nice little run for Devontae Parker. We've talked about this. It's like, of course, Devontae Parker breaks out when
we all
least expect
up.
It. Yeah.
We all gave up on him.
He's not drafted at all.
He's the wide receiver 25 right now.
You know he scored more fantasy points by like 0.2 than Odell Beckham?
Jeez.
Wow.
DeVante Parker.
What is the world that we're living in?
Is outscoring OBJ. Man. I don't think that's going to last, but oh my God.
No, because you know the Browns have a really great schedule, and like they feel like this is the time for OBJ to really start to shine a little bit.
If OBJ doesn't score a touchdown this week, I'm going to pull my hair out. If it doesn't happen this week.
Well, with that hair, you're going to spend a lot of time doing that, pal. Yeah, no, and his schedule is so good. I mean, we're going to be talking about Baker Mayfield a ton, both on the pod and on TV, because the schedule is really good.
The next few weeks, they got the Dolphins, they got Pittsburgh, which, you know, whatever. Bengals, Cardinals. Yeah, that's a pretty good run for him.
Yeah, it is.
Pretty good run. Last one, DJ Chark. The asking price on DJ Chark has probably gone up from the start of the season.
I still feel like he's undervalued, though.
Well, I think what happened is a lot of people, you drafted Chark late in your draft, so you've got a couple of other receivers that you feel pretty comfortable with, and Chark seems to be that guy that every week you're like, hey, do I start him over, you know, X or whatever? And so, like, he's there just sitting on a roster, and he's getting used, I'm sure, quite a bit. But I feel like he's a guy that people would part with just because they have other receiving options there.
Yeah, I don't know why, though. It's just you found this gold mine in the last round. Just keep riding that out. We mentioned the Titans' secondary started to fall apart. They get the Bucs next week, too. That's pretty nice. Nick Foles, that's been his guy. I know it's only been a few, just like it's literally been 50 or 60 pass attempts, but Chark has been the
five quarters, three touchdowns.
He's caught 100% of Nick Foles' touchdown passes this year.
Yeah, that's DJ Chark, man. He's so good.
I can't say it out loud because he's burned me so many times. All right, I'm saying it out loud. I think D.D. Westbrook does something this week. every time I have been on D.D. Westbrook, he has let me down.
Every time I look at D.D. Westbrook's game logs or watch him, it's just like four catches, 50 yards every week. Yeah. That's it. Nothing else, nothing more.
Yeah, I mean, I think there might be some D.D. Westbrook in our future this week. On the flip side, guys whose schedules maybe aren't great, but certainly have some value that you could trade them away. The first one's Carlos Hyde, and the Texans' schedule really toughens up down the stretch. And Hyde has been sort of a nice piece. He's kind of a tweener. He and Duke Johnson have sort of, you know, they fill roles that are pretty nice in real football, maybe just sort of middling in fantasy football. But if you are looking, I feel like he has to be part of a package. But I don't know that Carlos Hyde is something that is going to get me to the promised land. If I have him on my fantasy roster, maybe I can package him with something else and get something better back in return.
Yeah, he's a great player to package up if you're trying to target a team. I know we're going to talk trade strategies here in a bit, but this is what I like to do is, like, if you're targeting a team that really needs running back help and they feel, you know, they've got great receivers, Hyde is a perfect player to package up and try to offer some floor, because Hyde's been kind of just a guy for fantasy. If he doesn't score a touchdown, he's kind of been worthless, but at least he gives you a solid floor of points.
Last week, I mean, you want to talk about the garbage time touchdown
out,
of garbage
suck out
time
40 plus yard score,
you know?
Yeah. I needed it in the league, though, so thank you, Carlos.
Oh, man. Devin Singletary, who, it's the good side is that he has kind of taken over the role as the main running back there in Buffalo. The downside is Josh Allen. And I say this as somebody who has started Devin Singletary in a number of places. I mentioned yesterday on Fantasy Live, going back to the start of last year, Josh Allen has 15 rushing touchdowns. The Bills running backs combined in that stretch have 8. Yeah.
He's their goal line back.
He's their goal line back. He is.
He's Cam Newton.
He's Cam Newton. It's hard, man, but like you can at least sell somebody on the fact that Singletary is getting touches, right? He's getting snaps. He is the main running back there. Maybe leave out the part about him not scoring touchdowns when you're trying to make a trade.
Yeah, the key is he's been on the field for over 2/3 of the snaps. He has completely usurped Frank Gore, which, you know, I don't know. Pour one out for Frank Gore.
Man.
It's been a good run. But Devin Singletary has been the guy there for them at this point. But yeah, Josh Allen, he's their goal line guy, man. I just don't know how many touchdowns. I think we're going to keep getting sucked into this Bills backfield every single year because they are so run heavy and Josh Allen is such a limited quarterback. But I think the ceiling is just not going to be there because you mentioned it. Josh Allen's their guy.
I mean, inside the 10, from the 10 and in, the past couple years, Josh Allen has 21 rush attempts. The next closest is Frank Gore with 13. Devin Singletary has 3.
Wow.
3 carries inside the 10-yard line.
There you go.
Not great. Devontae Freeman, I know he's hurt right now, working his way back,
But he's a guy who catches the ball a lot in an offense that, I mean, they score because generally they've been behind and they've had to score points. I mean, there is some value there for him. The schedule is not great, but I would think that you know, a Devontae Freeman can bring you back something decent in return. You know, I don't know. Maybe you can swing a Devontae Freeman and for a Philip Lindsay type if somebody's willing to kind of make that deal. I don't know who would be, but maybe.
We'll see if Freeman gets back this week. He was supposed to miss a couple weeks, and I think it sounds like he's trending in the right way to get back on the field this week. We'll see what his practice status is. Falcons get three straight games at home here, and it seems like they've kind of turned at least a little bit of a corner, I guess, as a whole team. Mm-hmm. The only issue is that Atlanta's not been able to run the ball all year, and I don't know how much of it's Freeman's fault, but he's been below like 4 yards per carry in basically every single game but two this year.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that I had so much hope for at the start of the season, and
he's been fine.
He's been
though.
Fine. Here's the thing: what's sort of worked out is that he's been catching the ball
exactly,
and that sort of helped keep him afloat a little bit.
That's where all his value is.
That's pretty much where all
because
of it is.
In terms of rushing yards, I mean, it's been nothing.
Atlanta's offensive line is really struggled.
Yeah. All right, Fabs. This might hurt a little bit. We can pair these two guys up.
No, I refuse to even think about
from
that.
Running back to wide receiver, Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper. Right. I mean, it's mostly about the schedule getting tougher, right? But these are top line guys who are going to get opportunity, even if the schedule isn't great. There's still an opportunity for them to produce. But I don't know. Maybe they get you something back with one of these guys who has a better schedule on the flip side. Thoughts?
I'm not trading Zeke. I'm not doing it. I don't know. Featured running backs are so hard to come by. He plays in a great offense. I mean, I can't do it. Maybe I'm just being a homer.
If somebody gave you Dalvin Cook, would you trade Zeke?
No, yeah.
I mean,
but no one's going to give me Dalvin Cook for Zeke. I mean, because Cook has been, you know, 5 or 6 points better per game this season than Zeke has been. It would be hard for me to, even with the schedule, you know, you talk about guys who are matchup proof and Zeke, you know, he's had some stinkers this year. I get it, but I couldn't do it. It would take a lot, man.
All right.
It would take a lot for me to, but you know, maybe ask Graham because, you know, his heart's not into it.
He's a little more objective about it.
It's just hard for me to you know, trade a guy like Zeke. I'd have to get a whole lot in return. Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem with Zeke this year is he's just basically not been used as a receiver as much. Last year he was catching like 5 balls per game. Right. Now he's, I think, right below 3 catches per game
so
far.
Tony Pollard is sneakily sliding into that role.
He is. And Pollard's really, really explosive. I don't know why Dallas doesn't get him a little bit more involved and kind of spell Zeke with him because he is a good player. But yeah, it's just not been the same kind of receiving total as Dak is kind of he's leaned more on Gallup and Cobb here this season.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill. The hamstring issue notwithstanding here. I mean, a guy that, we know what Tyreek Hill is, right? I mean, could you part with him? Is that too much? Is there too much to ask for to part with Tyreek Hill?
Matchups right do not matter for Tyreek Hill.
Nah, it doesn't matter, dude.
I mean, the schedule might be bad for the rest of the season. We'll see what his status is. It doesn't sound like he's going to miss much time, but
They have a bye this week.
They have a bye this week, and then they play the Raiders in week 13, and that's obviously an amazing spot for Hill.
But they finish, they've got the Patriots, yeah. Broncos, Bears in the fantasy playoffs.
The Bears.
The Bears don't really scare you, but obviously the Broncos and Patriots, not great matchups, obviously.
Right. Yeah. All right.
But Tyreek Hill has ripped the Patriots, though. I mean, Bill Belichick, that's like one of the few players he's not figured out yet. I mean, Hill has gone 7-133-1, 7-142-3, and then obviously last year he did get him to shut down a little bit, but that's because the Patriots just held the ball the whole game.
Pretty much.
They just ran the hell out of the ball that entire game and didn't give Mahomes a shot.
But. I got a buddy who's, you know, currently a DB in the league, and I remember him telling me that, like, Tyreek Hill is just, I mean,
He lines up
opposite of him, and it's just like
he has to be the most.
You're already at a
receiver.
Disadvantage before he takes a step.
I bet you, if you polled 100 cornerbacks in the NFL, I would bet the majority say he's the most difficult receiver to cover in the NFL because he's so fast and sudden.
He's so fast, and he gets the top speed so quickly.
Yeah, he gets into sixth gear immediately.
Immediately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Fabs, I know you said earlier in the week that might be the time to sell high on John Brown.
Oh, it absolutely is.
I mean, after what he did last week and knowing what the schedule is the rest of the season for the Bills receivers. So you're moving John Brown right now.
If I can, yeah. I mean, he's having a career season, right? And he's coming off a 34-point performance. He's got Denver, which means Chris Harris. Then he's got the Cowboys, who have been really
tough
on wide receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, just ask Stephon Diggs. Then you got Baltimore, okay? It doesn't get any better because the following week you got Pittsburgh and you finish at New England.
Yeah, it's a tough slate.
That is brutal.
That's a really tough slate.
So whereas like I still have a little bit of faith in Josh Allen because this schedule is bad for him, but he has that advantage of being able to score points with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get worse than this, guys. It does not get worse than this. If I could trade him for Ridley right now, straight up, or for a DJ Moore right now, I would absolutely do it.
Okay. It hurts my heart, but I agree. I love John Brown. I have him on so many teams.
Look at the corners he's got to face.
It hurts my heart, but I agree. This is a perfect week to sell high on him.
All right.
I'm not going to do it, though. I say I'm not going to take my own advice because I love him so much, but...
Yeah, sometimes where fantasy meets reality, exactly. Right? We're like, sometimes you know the smart thing to do, but it just, you know,
it just
doesn't work for you. Last one here, Julian Edelman, who, you know, he's been fine.
He just is what he is.
He's right?
He's going to catch 5 balls every week. He might score a touchdown. He might throw for a touchdown now, too.
And this is the thing where I feel like this is another one where you could probably sell somebody maybe on the name value of Julian Edelman, just hope they don't necessarily look at the production. Like, hey, it's Julian Edelman. Like, he's Tom Brady's favorite receiver. Like, yo. But, like, the production's been just okay. The schedule isn't great. I mean, I feel like we mentioned Carlos Hyde in the package, right? Maybe you can package Julian Edelman and Carlos Hyde if you got, you know, players similar to that and get something back. Because, like, I feel like you can do better.
He's fourth in catches among wide receivers. He's got 5 touchdowns because he had a touchdown pass last week. Julian Edelman is like that baseball player who's not like a big time like superstar, but like when it's time to perform,
right?
He hits in the clutch, and he doesn't hit a home run, but he might hit a single or a double.
He'll drive in a run,
something like that. That's kind of what Julian Edelman is, and that's why I like having him on my rosters because I know he's never going to kill me. He's never going to give me, you know,
the Dodgers
4 or 5 points.
Julian Edelman, then they need somebody that can get on base and not freaking strike out.
Too soon.
Hey,
sorry.
The Yankees are right there too, pal.
Too soon.
Hey, the Yankees at least have mashers. Yeah, they've got they've got true mashers.
But that doesn't work.
The Dodgers have
it
a few.
It doesn't work in the playoffs, man, when you're so dependent on the home run. Although
true.
The Astros cheating SOBs, right, Eddie? I mean, who knows what would have happened in 2017 or even this past season for that matter. But you need to have guys who can have, you know, hit. Like, you need like more DJ LeMahieu types.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because, I mean, Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, if the Yankees traded him tomorrow to the Dodgers for something decent, I would not shed a tear. Wouldn't shed a tear.
This has been Bitching About Baseball.
Yes, baseball talk.
All right, before we finish up this trade stuff, trade strategies, because I know we hear from people all the time, like, should I trade this one for this one, whatever. Oh, by the way, just a piece of advice. Don't tweet us and say, hey, so I made this trade for whatever. Did I do good? Doesn't matter.
It's over.
It's over now.
You already clicked accept.
Like, it's done.
The deal is done.
It doesn't matter what we think anymore.
It really gives a crap. I mean, like, we can't really tell you how it's going to go. I mean,
like, it's like, whatever. Like, it's already done. Like, it doesn't
matter.
I see
that at least a couple times a week, too. It's
so,
like,
you know, I traded, you know, Julio Jones for Calvin Ridley, like, how'd I do? Like, it doesn't matter.
I get it. These people, they just want
validation.
They want validation. They want to feel warm and fuzzy, and they have their confirmation bias.
I know. But
I'm not going to give it to them.
It doesn't really matter. But strategies. I mean, do you guys have, Fab, start with you. I mean, any big overarching trade strategies that you have for folks?
Well, dude, at this point of the season especially, I like to trade depth for superstars, right? And that's what I'm looking to do. So I don't mind trading away a running back and a wide receiver who are pretty good to get that like superstar type wideout. And I also, if I have depth at a position, I'm not afraid to trade away a superstar. So I'll give you an example. In the NFL talent league that I'm in, Ian Rapoport and I, we always make at least one or two trades every single year. And I had David Johnson, and I'm screwed at RB2. I have David Johnson. What am I going to do? So I was super deep at wide receiver, so I flipped Godwin and got Nick Chubb. And I don't really like giving away Chris Godwin,
right?
But because I have depth at wide receiver, I'm still pretty good at it. I've got Galladay. I don't know what's going on with him. I got Jarvis Landry. I've got Calvin Ridley. So I've got a few other pieces that I can plug in, and you only start 2 wide receivers in Superflex League. I don't mind giving away that big name to get a big name in return, where because I have depth at that position, I needed help at running back. So I feel good about making a trade like that. But for the most part, I'm trying to trade from depth in order to get, because why do I want superstars on my bench at this point?
Right.
I want to make that starting lineup as potent and powerful as possible. And that's what I'm looking to do right now in my trades.
All right. Graham, any suggestions for folks out there?
Sure. I think my favorite thing to do, and maybe this is more of a mid-season type of trade strategy, but my favorite thing to do is not necessarily target specific players, but target teams of need. And I mentioned a little bit earlier. So, I mean, if you've got, for example, a team that is just absolutely dying at running back, I'm not necessarily going to that team looking to target like a specific player, but I'm more or less just trying to facilitate a trade where it helps both sides, because I think that's the type of trades that work best and probably suit most owners is you know, I hear you that it's always nice to try and trade depth guys for superstars, but yep. I don't really necessarily, I mean, it's a really hard thing to do unless you're just nailed your draft. And of course we've all had teams where we all nail our drafts, where we just pick up some great waiver wire guys and we, you know, land a DJ Chark for free.
Just ride it out.
Yeah, you just ride it out. But I think my favorite thing to do is not necessarily target like specific players all the time, but go in and have a strategy for specific teams to try and help, not only help that bolster the other team, but get the player or player two that you're looking for in return.
Yeah, I'll sort of piggyback on that too. I mean, my thing is we get a lot of, you know, people saying, hey, who wins this trade, or who gets the better of it? And my thing is don't worry about winning the trade necessarily.
Right.
The whole point of trying to make a deal is you're trying to improve your team, right? And if you can, you know, offer something in return, like you have to give up something to get something. So it's sort of kind of what Graham was saying there, right? Look where people are weak, look where you are weak, and see if the two sides can sort of come together and try to figure some things out. Because you're trying to trade not necessarily because maybe it's because you do love a player. Maybe you just want a guy that you really like watching, and that's understandable. But generally, it's because you're weak at a certain position and you want to figure out a way to kind of strengthen that spot. And so don't worry about, you know, whether you feel like you're getting, you know, the short end of this thing. If you come out of it feeling like, you know what, I've gotten stronger at wide receiver, running back, tight end, whatever it is, then it's fine for you. And that's what you should mostly be worried about when you go into trading scenarios. So.
Let me give you guys a question here, hypothetical, right? Because we're all commissioners in our leagues, right? And I hear people complaining about this on Twitter. So, and this is just a seasonal league, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Say that, you know, Graham is third right now. He's going to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. okay? He makes a completely fair trade, completely fair, with a team that is not making the playoffs.
Okay.
As a commissioner, I don't like to overturn trades.
Don't veto trades.
I just don't. I don't like to do that. But do you put any sort of regulations or rules in your leagues teams that are in the playoffs can't trade with teams that are not in the playoffs, or it's all a free-for-all?
It's all fair.
Unless there's just absolute clear collusion. You're trading Dalvin Cook for freaking Bo Scarborough.
Right, exactly.
Then other than that, just let it ride.
Let it ride.
You know you love Bo Scarborough. Come on.
I don't think a lot of people were.
I get a lot of complaints about that, and people think, oh, this is BS because this team is just getting better. Listen, if it's a fair trade, I don't care, man. Like, as long as it's a fair trade, you could have no wins, and you could be trading to a team that's got 9 wins. If it's a fair trade,
then it's a fair trade.
Until that trading deadline hits, man, I'm letting them go through.
It's all good.
I'm letting them go through.
Yeah, no, that's not a thing. Don't worry about that. All right, I'm calling this fight to the finish, right? I picked quarterback, running back, wide receiver. I got 3 names in each, and I just want you guys to pick one that you have to ride with, or you would want to ride with for the rest of the season. I tried to pick guys that are all sort of in similar situations with maybe similar production. So I'll just get your thoughts on it. So let's start. Quarterback. Pick one for the rest of the season. Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett, Sam Darnold. Who you guys got?
Boy, that's I'm going to go Baker Mayfield, and I have been poo-pooing
him. You've been hammering him this year.
Well, I mean, for good reason.
I'm not saying you were wrong.
He said 1 or 2 really good games all year long, but I mean, the schedule, Marcus, is just so good. I guess I'm going to pay. And I mean, he's starting to turn things around a little bit. Not that I trust him, but I think I trust him more than Brissett and Darnold.
Yeah, I think Brissett and Mayfield are probably pretty close week to week at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, both like low end, they've been middling. Well, Mayfield basically to start the year was unusable. Brissett has been a very solid, like high end QB2 all year. I think the schedule of the next couple weeks is really, I mean, it's really good for Brissett too. I think I might lean towards him just because I trust that offense and Frank Reich a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But it's real close between him and Mayfield. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would probably go Mayfield, although I've been riding with Brissett in a lot of leagues, especially because in my earlier drafts, I was very Andrew Luck heavy. And so then I obviously had to pivot to Jacoby Brissett.
Poor one out.
Right. And you know what? It has, I've done fine, right? It is not completely cratered my rosters. So, you know, maybe I'm just sympathetic to Jacoby because he's helped my rosters this year. Running back, Royce Freeman, James White, Kareem Hunt.
This one's actually easy for me. It's James White. The Patriots have the fourth easiest schedule for running backs the rest of the season and the fourth easiest schedule among running backs in the fantasy playoffs. And James White he had a bad game last week. It was really his first terrible game all year. But he is always going to have a role in that offense. You don't have to worry about Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead. Those guys are going to split snaps and touches. He is always going to see, you know, four or five catches every single week. And he's like that clutch hitter on a baseball team that I mentioned.
Right.
He's the kind of guy that you like. He's not going to have a monster game like a Dalvin Cook every week, but every week is going to give you, you know, between 12 and 15 fantasy points, and he's just going to be steady.
I just want to know how James White has only scored twice this year.
I know, right?
I know New England's not scoring as much.
A ton of touchdowns last year.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody expect him to repeat 12 touchdowns, but, I mean, at least like three or four at this point.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, though, because the I know the Patriots, at least for a while, they were the number one offense in the NFL, and it was sort of a mystery to me because so much of their success was based on their defense, and they were scoring so many points on defense. I feel like that number has sort of calmed down because the offense has been...
It's been so-so.
It's been fine.
Yeah, it's been so-so.
It's been fine.
It's all volume. I mean, Brady's on pace to have his, I think, the most pass attempts of his career at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
All right, so wide receiver then. DK Metcalf, Curtis Samuel, Mike Williams. Any one of those guys?
Mike Williams is another guy. Where are the touchdowns?
I mean, what do you have, 10 last year?
Yeah, 10, and that was always going to regress because he scored 10 on like 70 targets or something.
He had that one game where he had like three against Kansas City, and one of them was a rushing touchdown, I believe.
Mike Williams has just been used as this like deep shot-only player in this offense, and that's kind of frustrating because I think he could be a significantly bigger and better asset for the Chargers, but man, I just want to see him score some touchdowns. I go with DK here because he actually does score touchdowns.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with DK.
I've had multiple people ask me this, and I don't have a solid answer. I mean, how does Josh Gordon fit into this offense?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's going to end up, maybe he's going to vulture some red zone opportunities from DK from time to time. But I mean, honestly, I just feel like he's just another weapon for Russell to go into. And, you know, he'll have his occasional good game, but I don't know that the targets are going to be there where he'll be a consistently good fantasy option.
I think that move was just basically like, we're going to get a really talented player at a significantly low waiver claim, and we don't have a good number three receiver.
Right.
That was basically it.
Yep.
We know the Seahawks don't run a ton of three receiver sets too, so that was probably it.
Yeah. I mean, just I've had a lot of people ask me that, and I just don't have an honest, really solid answer because I just don't know. I mean, I think that's sort of the baseline of it there. All right, a few names before we get out of here. Whether or not you're dropping some of these guys, I feel like it's pretty safe to let some of these guys go. Kalen Ballage, we can say goodbye, right?
Hey, man, if you want a guy who's going to average 1 yard per carry, he is your man.
Somebody asked me yesterday how I felt about Patrick Laird. My response was, I'm pretty much just done with Dolphins running backs now.
Yeah.
He might be worth like a deep league stash though, and see what happens.
And
I think that's about it.
This guy mentioned he was in a 14 team league, and I'm like, I guess you could make a case for it there, but beyond that, in deep
leagues, 14 team leagues, sure, hold on to Ballage just because he could score a touchdown again. But man,
yeah, Brian Hill, who you know did not perform last week.
I rage dropped him in quite a few weeks. I was just like,
it didn't happen last week. Now they're playing the Bucs, whose run defense is pretty good. Devontae Freeman is potentially coming back soon.
Didn't practice today.
Yeah.
I did not practice today. All right. But even still, like, I don't know. You wouldn't be starting him against this Bucs defense,
I'm not.
Right?
Yeah, Brian Hill has no value at this point.
It's like you can let it go.
How bad have we had this year with the running backs off the waiver?
Oh, it's awful.
Like, remember last year, like, we had a Phillip Lindsay.
The waiver wire has been...
This year, the waiver wire, like, Damian Williams last year, and now this year, it has been...
Guys, outside of DJ Chark and Terry McLaurin in week one, the waiver wire has been trash all year.
Just empty. Mm.
Unless you've gotten lucky in a few leagues and people have dropped a Brandon Cooks or somebody significant like with actual value, the waiver wire has just been terrible.
Yeah. A couple of quarterbacks, Philip Rivers,
Is it time to say goodbye to Phil Rivers?
Yep, Rivers is done. I'm done,
man.
It's over. I mean, he has not been able to exploit good matchups for most of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at his last few games. I mean, Chiefs, great matchup, stunk. Raiders, great matchup, stunk.
Yep.
I mean, I don't remember the last time he scored over 20 points.
And this is the most Chargery thing ever. What's so frustrating is they moved the ball very well in both of those games. They moved the ball up and down the field on the Raiders.
I don't know why they didn't run the ball more against the Chiefs.
Right, and they got inside of the 20, or I think, or maybe four straight drives against the Chiefs last week. And it's like they underwhelm every single week. They have so many good players, and they just cannot figure it out.
Rivers, fewer than 15 points in five of his last six. He's got seven picks in his last two games. He's got Denver, Jacksonville, Minnesota in week 15, and then in week 16, he's playing against the Raiders again, who he sucked against a couple of weeks. I'm done. I'm done. Pick up Baker. Pick up Darnold. Pick up Brissett if he's out there. I'm done with it.
And the last one, I think we mentioned him last week, but he's still on a lot of rosters. Jared Goff.
I cut him weeks ago,
We can do that too.
He's not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Like I said, I know we mentioned him last week, but I looked, and he's still rostered in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, you don't want him.
You don't have to do that anymore, folks. Don't do that to yourself.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
It's not cool.
All right. There you go. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you listening and downloading as always. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, don't follow your dreams. Ask them where they're going and hook up with them later. See you on Friday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.